Radio Prague News.
A member of the Social Democrats Executive Committee has recommended that party chairman Stanislav Gross step down. Czech tennis player Květoslava Peškyová has made the women's final 16 at Wimbledon, and the well-known actor Jiří Kodet of one of the most famous families of the Czech stage has died. A member of the ruling Social Democratic Party's Executive Committee, the former Health Minister Ivan David, recommended on Saturday at the committee's meeting that the chairman of the Social Democrats, Stanislav Gross, step down from his post. Mr. Gross, however, has flatly refused. Others, including the chairman of the party's Deputies Club, Michal Kraus, as well as the head of the Chamber of Deputies, Lubomír Zaorálek, backed Mr. Gross, indicating that choosing a new leader so shortly after the party's congress was not the order of the day. Mr. Gross stayed on as the Social Democrats' chairman despite being forced out of the prime minister's office earlier this year, following a personal finance scandal. No Social Democrat leader suggested on Saturday that the party should hold an extraordinary congress in the aim of having someone else fill the post. A well-known patriarch of the Czechoslovak Hasid Church, Jan Schwarz, has stepped down from his post following a conflict on Saturday over who should administer a special mass at the meeting of the church diet. Delegates voted in favor of fellow patriarch Josef Spak. Differences between church members are marked. Jan Schwarz has been the center of controversy in the Hasid Church in recent weeks, apparently at odds with bishops over questions of financing, property, and an alleged lack of democracy in the church's organization. Turning to sport, Czech tennis player Květoslava Peškyová has made it to the women's final 16 at Wimbledon for the very first time. On Saturday, the 30-year-old downed the experienced Conchita Martinez, a former Wimbledon winner, in straight sets, 6-4, 6-1. Until now, Peškyová had never made it past Wimbledon's second round. She will now face 8th-seeded Nadezhda Petrovová of Russia. And a loss for Czech theater today. Czech actor Jiří Kodet has died following prolonged illness. The much-loved stage and film actor, who came from a family famous for its theater background, was known for dozens of roles throughout his career. Most recently, he appeared in films like Jan Hřebejk's Pelíšky and Petr Zelenka's cult hit Knoflíkáři, or The Butners, for which Mr. Kodet received the prestigious Czech Lion Award in 1998. Jiří Kodet was 67. Finally, we look at the weather. Meteorologists say that the next couple of days will see thundershowers throughout the Czech Republic. Meteorologists warn that conditions will be poor for asthma sufferers as well as those suffering from heart-related illnesses. They are recommended to avoid strenuous activity. Daytime temperatures on Sunday should reach highs of about 24 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Wellinger. That's the news.
This is Radio Prague with me, David Vaughan. Later in the programme, we'll be looking at the fascinating life of Přemysl Pytr, who was born 110 years ago this week. At a time of hatred and violence, he devoted years to helping children, regardless of their nationality. Before that, well, this is a season for enjoying the beer gardens of Prague, and in ABC of Czech, Pavla Horáková introduces some of the vocabulary you might need in order to order just the pint you want. But first we go to Daniela Razarová with Magazine.
The city of Brno had more than its fair share of firework displays this month. It hosted the biggest international fireworks contest in Europe, which attracted some 600,000 viewers. Each competing country had a night of its own in which to impress the jury and public. The overall winner was the Portuguese team, Macedo's Pirotecnia, with a fireworks display called Heaven, Hell and Paradise. It won Best Scenography, while the British team, Pyro 2000, won the Czech Radio Award for Best Accompanying Music. The fireworks were launched from a special floating pad on the Brno Dam, and the glorious spectacle was reflected in the water. Those who saw it say it was a never-to-be-forgotten experience. A precious sea eagle which escaped from a private owner in Germany was captured by ornithologists near the town of Pilsen and returned to its owner. People called us to say there was a huge bird, probably some kind of eagle, sitting on a spruce near a children's pool, one of the ornithologists said later. We arrived on the spot and sure enough, there it was. We waited until night fell, but even so, it took three of us to capture the bird, which was incredibly strong. When we got the eagle to the bird shelter, it was so hungry it ate 15 small chicks in one go. The year-old sea eagle is now safely back with its owner, and ornithologists have breathed a sigh of relief. The precious bird might have been a trophy for illegal hunters had it been sighted by them first. The author of The Good Soldier Schweik, Jaroslav Hašek, novelist, humorist, journalist and prankster, finally has a memorial statue in Prague's Žižkov district, where he lived in Jeronimová Street at the time of writing the famous novel. The bronze equestrian statue was given a christening with beer, something that Hašek would have appreciated, according to his grandson Richard, who attended the ceremony. Grandpa would have been proud, Richard said. After all, it was high time. Schweik already had five statues in the Czech Republic, while Hašek has none. Hašek wrote The Good Soldier Schweik in 1921, and it was later acclaimed as one of the greatest satires in world literature. It has been translated into 58 languages and is still published the world over. Schweik has been described as one of the most unique and successful survival strategies ever conceived by man, and Joseph Heller once said that if it wasn't for his having read The Good Soldier Schweik, he would never have written his American novel Catch-22. On hot days in Prague, firefighters have their hands full. They're not just called out to fires, but as pest controllers. Last weekend, swarms of wasps caused a panic in several parts of the city. If you imagine that wasps have hives in trees and barns, then think again. They appear to be just as happy in the city centre, for instance, covering road signs, a particularly dangerous pastime. Firemen come and hoover them up with a special hoovering machine. Last Saturday, they were called out seven times to deal with swarms of wasps. On Thursday, there were six emergency calls. If you're into things Celtic, then don't miss the Celtic Circle Festival in Budíně nad Ohří from July the 15th to July the 17th. The festival is held under the auspices of Joseph Hayes, the Irish ambassador to the Czech Republic, and it will offer visitors Celtic music, dancing, arts and crafts, jewellery, food and outdoor shows involving Druid rituals and Celtic magic, to quote the organisers. The festival will be held in the Budíně nad Ohří castle grounds, which in themselves are well worth seeing. They are on UNESCO's list of World Cultural Monuments. The admission fee for this treat is just 100 crowns, and you'll find all the information you need on www.celticcircle.cz. Czech women have had it with male-dominated politics. In the spring of this year, they established a women's party called Equality, and although many people scoffed at the idea at the time, the party now claims to have 600 members and over 2,000 registered supporters. Their aim is to cross the 5% margin which would get them seats in parliament in the 2006 general elections. And one of the first things they aim to do is push for more women women to be given high-level posts in various institutions. Women would change the world of Czech politics for the better, says chairwoman and founder of the party, Zdenka Ulmanová. But right now, their voices are simply not heard. There are just 24 women in the 200-seat lower house and 10 women in the 81-member Senate. Here, if women want to be successful in politics, they have to think and act like men. We plan to enter politics and think and act like women, she says. Becoming an increasingly popular beverage in the Czech Republic. Immediately after the fall of communism in 1989, Czechs wouldn't know what a tea house was. Everyone was familiar with coffee shops and sweet shops, where you'd go for coffee, cakes and a chat, a tradition dating back to the days of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Yet, after the initial skepticism wore off, tea houses became a huge hit. People quickly realized that real tea was a far cry from the tea bags they had for breakfast, and they were fascinated by the vast variety of teas and the process of preparation. Tea houses quickly filled a gap on the market, and today the Czech Republic has the highest number of tea houses per head in the world. Unlike pubs, which are smoky, cheerful and loud, and cukrárny, which are a place for families with children and elderly ladies, tea houses are now the haunts of young intellectuals. When we opened our tea house, all our friends thought we were mad, but now we couldn't be doing better business, one owner said.
And Daniela will be back next week with another magazine. This weekend has something of a beery flavour here on Radio Prague. In tomorrow's programme, Pavla Horáková will be announcing the winner of our great Radio Prague beer competition. And beer is also the inspiration for this week's ABC of Czech.
Hello and welcome to the ABC of Czech, where this season we look at Czech vocabulary related to food and drink. Today I'm here with
Zuzana Durčáková.
And we are going to talk about the most typical Czech beverage, beer or
pivo.
The place to try the local brew is a pub in Czech.
Hospoda.
Or
pivnice.
Literally a beer pub. They are often smoky places with grumpy waiters and questionable toilets, but that's all part of the experience. In the last few years, many breweries have opened their own chains of pubs around the country, which have good ventilation and the menu is a little more sophisticated than in traditional Czech pubs. The usual glass size is half a liter or
půl litr.
They come in many shapes, with or without handles, and different breweries try to distinguish themselves by designing different glasses. Ladies will appreciate the fact that they can order
malé pivo,
or a small beer, which is 3 deciliters. Some pubs also have 4 deciliter glasses. If half a liter isn't enough for you, you can ask for
tuplák,
or a double, that is a 1 liter jar. Most Czechs prefer light-coloured beer, or
světlé pivo.
But there is a wide variety of dark, sweeter beers too. Dark beer is
černé pivo,
or literally black beer. You can also try out a blend of light and dark beer, which in Czech is called
řezané pivo,
literally cut beer. Most Czechs look down on beer in cans, and many even avoid bottled beer, because there is nothing like draft beer, or
točené pivo.
Many pubs have only one brand of beer on tap, so you don't order by brand, you just ask for
pivo.
However, in most cases, you can choose between
desítka
and
dvanáctka,
a 10 or a 12, which differ in the volume of alcohol. Typical Czech draft beer has to have a head or
pěna,
literally foam or lather. If it does not, you should definitely complain to the barman at the tap or
pípa.
The place where beer is brewed or brewery is
pivovar.
There is much more beer-related vocabulary than can fit into today's edition, so next time we'll be talking about some beer idioms and sayings. Till then,
na zdraví!
Cheers!
And cheers from me too. And if you want to make sure you don't mix up your ležák with your prazdroj, then you can check out the program on our website. That's at www.radio.cz. And now we remember one of the unsung Czech heroes of the 20th century, Přemysl Pytr, who was born 110 years ago this week. This program was first aired on Radio Prague 5 years ago.
Thanks to Steven Spielberg, the name of Oskar Schindler is known the world over. But this program is about an almost forgotten contemporary of Schindler, who deserves a similar place in history. In the course of the tumultuous 20th century, Přemysl Pytr, born in Prague in 1895, did more than perhaps anyone else to help children, Czech, German and Jewish, through some of the most horrific moments of European history. I'll start in the present day. The Přemysl Pytr Primary School was opened a few years ago in the industrial city of Ostrava. The school is unique in the Czech Republic in offering special support to Romani children from some of the poorest and most deprived families in the country. Even though it opened nearly 20 years after his death, it is no coincidence that the school is named after Přemysl Pytr. It comes close to his philosophy as an educator and thinker. Regardless of race or nationality or where they were born, he believed passionately that all children deserve love, education and a chance to develop. Přemysl Pytr was born the son of middle-class parents, who ran a printing press in the heart of old Prague. As a child, it was taken for granted that he would join the firm, and he enjoyed a happy, quiet childhood. But events took a very different course. As with so many young men of his generation, the turning point in Přemysl Pytr's life came with the First World War. As a young soldier, he witnessed the horrors of the trenches on the Italian front, and came close to facing a firing squad when he found himself unable to shoot at his fellow men. He returned home a Christian and a pacifist, and convinced that having survived the war, he owed the rest of his life to others. When he saw the appalling conditions in which thousands of war widows were left to bring up their families alone, he started to work with children. In the young Czechoslovak state, he worked in the poor Prague suburb of Žižkov, and in the 1920s met his lifelong companion, the young Swiss teacher and education theorist, Olga Fiertz. While Pytr was a powerful visionary and thinker, she was extremely practical, and their work soon bore fruit. Blanka Sedláčková, now 73, remembers as a child going to the Miličův dům, the centre for children that Pytr and Fiertz opened in Žižkov in 1933. At a time when Central Europe was gripped by ethnic and national tensions, this was an open house to all children.
At the age of 10, I started going there with my sister. The Miličův dům was unique in Czechoslovakia and quite possibly in Europe as a whole, certainly from a spiritual point of view. Přemysl Pytr was a wonderfully cheerful and good-natured person with a very direct way with children. We all called him uncle, and we could turn to him with our fears or problems. When we gathered in the big room, he would talk to us, sometimes using the Bible as his starting point, but without ever giving the impression that he was trying to force some religious message on us. It was broader moral values that were important to him, telling the truth, mutual help. Children would go there regardless of political or religious allegiance.
The reputation of the Miličův dům and of its director spread internationally, and Pytr's writings on education and theology became well known. His pacifist views did not endear him to the state, and on one occasion Albert Einstein wrote to the Czechoslovak president, Tomáš Masaryk, to appeal for clemency when Pitta faced a prison sentence for his pacifism. On March the 15th, 1939, the Nazis marched into Prague, beginning 6 years of oppression. Seeing that Jewish children were no longer allowed to attend normal schools and take part in cultural activities, Pitta invited them with open arms to the Milichův Dům. Amid the horrors of the Nazi occupation, the centre became an oasis of freedom and tolerance.
Pak se ovšem jednou stalo, že Přemysla Pitra povolali do Pečkova paláce.
One day they took him to the Gestapo headquarters and accused him of taking in Jewish children. Pitta was never able to tell a lie. He looked at the man, confirmed that it was true, and added, "From a human point of view, I'm sure you can understand why I'm helping these children." After a long and deathly silence, the interrogator turned to him and said, "You may go." It was a kind of miracle. If you don't want to say it was an act of God, well, let's say that it was some kind of higher power.
Tragically, few of the Jewish children survived the war. Despite Pitta's efforts, the Nazi machine eventually caught up with the Milichův Dům, and most of the children were taken away in the transports. In the early morning of the 9th of May 1945, Prague's underground radio announced the liberation of the city. This marked the beginning of the most extraordinary episode in Přemysl Pitta's life. The newly established Czechoslovak government put him in charge of helping Jewish children, returning from the concentration camps traumatized and alone. He managed to set up homes in a number of country houses near Prague, in the spirit of the Milichův Dům. But what is almost unimaginable at the time, amid the atmosphere of revenge and hatred, is that he offered sanctuary not just to Jewish survivors, but also to German children. He had seen one of the internment camps in Prague, where Germans were being held prior to their mass expulsion from Czechoslovakia, and this is how he described what he found.
Thousands of people were forced to sleep on the bare ground, without blankets. The very sick and children lay in the blazing sun, in unthinkable filth, with flies crawling everywhere. The latrines and the paths that led to them were filthy from people with dysentery, who could walk no further and were lying in their own excrement.
Pitta was horrified to see that the newly liberated Czechoslovakia was repeating the brutalities of the occupier, and he pointed out that the real perpetrators of Nazi crimes had long since fled. Seeing these German children dying of malnutrition and dysentery, he realized that they too needed help, and without hesitation he began to take them in as well. Just weeks after the end of the war, Jewish children from the camps and German children, some arriving still dressed in tattered Hitler Youth uniforms, were being looked after together. One of the hundreds of children he helped was 14-year-old Yehuda Bakon, a young Jewish boy who alone in his family had survived the death camps. Today he is a well-known artist in Israel, and when I spoke with him on the phone, I asked him how he felt when the German children started arriving.
Strangely enough, people in the neighborhood, they were still full of memories from the war, and they didn't look at what he has done with too sympathetic eyes, but we children who just came back from the camps had much more understanding and in a way even compassion, because I believe that if somebody suffered so much, he can have another kind of relationship even to his former people who made him so much trouble.
And Yehuda Bakon remembers that it was the amazing charisma of Přemysl Pitta that made this extraordinary reconciliation possible.
We didn't trust anybody after the war. Why should be people kind or good to us? And here we met Přemysl Pitta, who was for us at that time a symbol of goodness, and he slowly won our heart and minds. We trusted again, and we believed again in human beings, and that was, I think, one of his main achievements.
Today there is a tree on the Hill of Remembrance in Jerusalem to remember Pitta's work at the time. But this is still not the end of the story. After the communist takeover, Pitta, as a Christian and pacifist, soon came to be seen as an enemy of the state, and it became clear that in Stalinist Czechoslovakia he faced imminent imprisonment. In 1951, like thousands of his countrymen, he reluctantly fled to Germany. He continued his work for others, working tirelessly for several years at the Valka refugee camp near Nuremberg, where refugees from Stalinist Czechoslovakia first came after escaping the country. He died in Zurich in 1976. A quarter of a century after his death, Przemysl Pitta's legacy has a very real significance, especially as the Czech Republic gradually comes to terms with its own multicultural, multi-ethnic makeup. Back at the Przemysl Pitta Primary School in Ostrava, I asked the school's head, Helena Balabanova, how she sees the significance of Pitta's name in the name of her school.
When we opened the school, there were people at the official opening who had worked with Przemysl Pitta and children he had taken care of. One of them was the priest, Mr. Shimsa, who gave a speech. He said if Przemysl Pitta were alive today, he would be taking care of Romani children. I think it is apt that our school is named after him because we are trying, at least in our own small way, to follow in his footsteps to help children who are deprived.
And I shall leave the very last word to Blanka Sedláčková, who knew Pitta for much of his working life.
Just before we went into exile, he said a wonderful thing to us. If you build from iron, the metal rusts. If you build from wood, the wood rots. Even marble crumbles in the end. But your material, the soul of the child, is eternal. That was Przemysl Pitta's lifelong creed.
Well, that's all we have time for today, but thank you very much for listening. From me, David Vaughan, and all of us here at Radio Prague, goodbye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Six heures vingt-sept, Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9415, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.